To be a Christian is to place our fortunes in the triumph of Christ. St. Paul makes this abundantly clear in our second reading today, which comes from his first letter to the Corinthians. In it, he is earnestly pleading with the Corinthians to keep central in their faith the resurrection of Christ, because he had heard that certain people were proclaiming that Christ really did not, that there is no resurrection and from the grave. And thus, St. Paul saw that there was something deadly to it, that if we were to deny the resurrection of the body, we are to deny the resurrection of Christ. And if we are to deny his resurrection, we deny the source of our confidence in salvation. Because the fact of Christ's resurrection is important. If we say that Christ did rise from the grave, then we can say that we will share in his victory over sin and death. But if we are to say that this is irrelevant and Christ may or may not have risen, then we are lost. As Christians, we place our fortunes, for better or for worse, in the triumph of Christ. This means that our strength and security comes from him who is eternal. We prayed in the responsorial psalm, "Blessed are they who hope in the Lord, who hope in Christ." Not blessed are they who have trust in themselves or who have confidence in their own power. Because if we place our strength and security in things that are not of God or things that are passing and temporary, including ourselves, then again, we are lost. Our strength and security do not come from these passing things, but from God alone. This is at the core of these messages of woe that have been given to us in our first reading and in our gospel from Jeremiah and from our Lord himself. We heard in our first reading from Jeremiah, "Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a barren bush in the desert that stands in a lava waste." Consider this image of this lone plant, desiccate, dying in the desert among inhospitable rocks. Such is the condition of someone who trusts in themselves or trusts only in their power. We may see this in our lives, in which through our defensiveness or our fear, our pride, we become suspicious. We are not willing to accept help from others, let alone from God himself, and thus we find ourselves in constant conflict and struggle, burning away anything that may be a source of life for us. To trust in ourselves is to set ourselves up for failure. And our Lord presents these very harsh words, contrasting the poor and the rich, the hungry and the filled, the weeping and the laughing, the persecuted and the spoken well of. It is not to say that if we find ourselves with financial means and stability, or food in our pantry, or with good mental health, or having good friendships, that we are supposed to intentionally throw them away and seek out abject poverty, to seek to punish ourselves. That's not the case. We all have our different state in life. Many of you here have families of your own, seeking family life, that we have to be good stewards of our resources, to take care of those around us, to give to care of our own bodies, which are gifts from God himself. But if we find ourselves seeking our satisfaction, our consolation, our strength in our financial well-being, in our food, in our good times, in the good things that people tell of us, then we are placing our confidence in things that ultimately will have an end. Because even if we were to have a perfectly secure retirement, we cannot take our riches with us into heaven. Even if we were to never go hungry, we can never use that to satisfy us for eternity. Thus, woe to the one who places their confidence in passing things. And as Christians, or for those of us called to be Christians through the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, we seek to attach ourselves to Christ's life, to experience, yes, his sufferings and his victory. For we have been marked by the cross of Christ to indicate that our fortune is tied with his. It is interesting to think about the significance of the cross. For many Catholic children, one of the first things that they learn, even before they're able to speak, is to clumsily make the sign of their cross as they gain gradual control over their limbs and can use them with purpose. For children who are brought forward for baptism, or for adults, as in the case for Greg and for Chance, who come to the church seeking baptism, one of the first gestures they receive is the signing of the cross on their forehead. The cross, after 2,000 years of Christian history, has often been a sanitized image, something that we know is of faith, of hope, but it was not always the case. For in Roman times, with the Roman Empire, the cross was a terrifying sign of suffering, death, and torture. Our Lord endured all of that, and we can consider the shock of his disciples when he told them to pick up their cross daily and follow him. Yet our Lord in his power has made the cross a sign of salvation. For us as Christians, suffering in life is unavoidable. The cross cannot be avoided because Christ himself suffered. Christ himself bore his cross. He in his humanity experienced poverty, hunger, mourning, and persecution. We cannot expect more than our Lord. Yet because we are united with Jesus, we can share and have the promise to share in his victory. By receiving the sign of the cross, we are marked for death so that we may rise again to new life. And so on this day, my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to renew your faith in the confidence we place in Christ, knowing that because we have been joined with him or seek to be joined with him in the sacraments, we will come to share in his life, in his triumph. And so when we go through our lives here on earth and we experience both prosperity and adversity, good things and bad things, health and sickness, we can recognize that all these things are but blessings, because in all them we are united with the Lord. And we remember all this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.